everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I have to tell you, I am so sorry about last week. We kind of pre-recorded a show because I was sick with the flu, and we had Bill Mackey here talking about the restaurant business, and we had a wonderful time. The show aired last week, and unfortunately, the computer just wasn't cooperating. So we're going to rebroadcast his show on Memorial Weekend, that Saturday. I'm taking that weekend off. So anyway, I went up to Mackey's restaurant last night to apologize to them, and they were just so great. And so I told them, I reassured them that the, you know, sometimes that happens, and that's exactly what happened. So like I always say to you, when it's live radio, anything can happen. So today we've got a really interesting show. I have Mike Catanzaro running the board today. Good morning, Mike. Yoo-hoo!
Good morning, Elaine.
We have Jim Corbin calling in at 7:35, and we have Linda Salgi from the Salgi Foundation. So we'll talk a little bit more about that.
I got a question for you, Elaine. Do you think it's safe for us to finally take our air conditioning covers off and actually start digging our gardens?
Yeah, I think so, because I actually went to Lowe's the other day. They had a plant sale, and I started getting my basil and oregano and some flowers. I'm looking for impatience, because I love to plant all kinds of different impatiens. They're the ones that grow through September. It's like the best value annual. So anyway, yes, I think that you can take the air conditioning cover. Whether you'll use it, probably not until the end of July.
Could have used it on Easter.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Also, happy Earth Day. And, we're really happy about that. There's going to be a lot of activity in the area.
Earth Day.
We're going to flip the show a little bit. We're going to interview Linda Salgi first, and then we're going to talk to Jim Corbin, and then we'll talk a lot about what's happening in the area for outs and abouts and movies. And I've got a couple of closings to one business in particular, which is pretty sad. But before I bring Linda back on again, I wanted to give you some facts about esophageal cancer, because it is really on the rise. And I went up to the National Cancer Institute just to find out what's going on in 2017. And unfortunately, 16,940 folks will be diagnosed this year. And the death statistics is 15,690. It's really a fast-growing cancer. And it's just really, right now in America, it's estimated that 45,547 folks are living with esophageal cancer in the United States. I mean, I know this disease is personal, because my nephew passed away 3 years, I can't believe it, almost 4 years ago now, and of this disease at age 44. So he kind of like went into the statistics very young, because national statistics show that people develop that at a much later in life, between 55 and 75. So he was diagnosed at age 42, I believe, and passed away at 44. But we're here today to talk to Linda Salgi, because, as she will tell you, April is Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month, and she wanted to come back on the show and talk to us. And I'm very curious to find out how she's doing and get some dates about the walk that's going to be happening in June. So good morning, Linda. I'm really happy to have you on today, and thanks for getting up so early with me to talk about this very serious subject, but also it's always a pleasure to have you on our show.
Oh, thank you, Elaine, so much.
Well, you're welcome. How about if we get right into it? April is Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month, and so what has our foundation been up to?
Well, we're excited to tell you that we did fund research in 2015, and we're looking forward to doing it again this year. So we have a big push towards that. And we also have our upcoming walk coming. I believe it's June 17th at Warwick City Park in Rhode Island. But we also have another individual who is helping out and having the first annual walk in St. Louis, Missouri. So we are kind of expanding here, and it's a wonderful sign.
It is. Well, you know what? I would have thought that this would have been a national day of walking in April, having all these events happening nationally. I'm really surprised that, cancer is cancer, and we have so many great organizations out there for many different forms and other diseases. Esophageal cancer just doesn't get the funding, does it, or the awareness?
No, it's extremely underfunded, as a matter of fact, and a lot of organizations have actually cut the funding. So that's why this is so important that we keep our mission going. We're pretty much, as far as I know, we're the only ones out there so far that actually fund research. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of organizations that promote awareness and early detection, which is very important, but we do have to keep this funding going. We've had 21 researchers ask us for funding in the past year. So you could tell that there is definitely a need out there.
Right. What are some of the projects that you've been funding?
Well, we did fund a Rutgers University research project, and the scientist that did that is now going to present his results at the American Gastroenterology Association in Chicago, Illinois. Mm. And that's during the Digestive Disease Week, which is held every year in May. That's kind of important. It's not, and again, this is because there is so little funding that's going around that anything that they can share knowledge from is very important. So we're happy about that, and we'd like to definitely fund research again this year.
Right. So is the fund your organization? How about if we just back up a little bit and explain to folks what is the Salyer Esophageal Cancer Research Foundation?
Well, we founded this. Actually, it's a grassroots charity. I had lost my dad, 19 years now, to esophageal cancer. And I had a little scare of my own a few years back. And my daughter and I decided we wanted to reach out and help any charity involved with this. And when we did our research, we found that there was none that gave to research, so that we just went ahead and started our own charity. And since then, we're up to our sixth annual walk, so we've been here for 6 years. We funded research last year. We've been receiving such positive contact from so many people across the United States. That realize, you know, they need this, and they're experiencing the same types of loss, and not much is being done. So that's basically what we did. We found a need, and we decided we had to start our own charity, and here we are 6 years later.
Right. What do you think, have the numbers come down statistically as far as, like, the number of cases diagnosed, or are they increasing?
No, unfortunately, that 600% increase in the past decades, that's still there. We are one of the fastest growing cancers, unfortunately. That is still the same. I do believe a part of that is because there's no routine or standard screenings to detect it in its earlier stages. Once people start to, you know, get the symptoms, which is difficulty swallowing and that choking feeling, that sometimes signifies that we've already gone to the final stage of esophageal cancer, and that's the problem. We really need to find out how we can prevent it, if there's other types of testing. I really do encourage anyone that has any suspicion of esophageal cancer or anything going on with that type of esophagus difficulty, anybody who's had someone in their family that has had esophageal cancer or Barrett's esophagus or, you know, GERD, acid reflux, which unfortunately I experience a great deal. If, you know, insist on an upper GI scope, because that's what I went through, and it's painless, and you go to sleep and you wake up later and they tell you everything's fine. So I really do like to encourage that. It's not a standard procedure as a mammogram would be, or a colonoscopy, that type of thing. So you really have to be your own advocate. So if you feel there's an issue or you have any concerns at all, push for that type of thing, an endoscopy. If your doctor doesn't want to do it, go to another doctor.
Right. Yeah, I know that when my nephew had passed, we all did it. We all had to ask our doctors for that referral to do that. And we all did it only because we weren't aware of the risk factors, and we weren't aware of the severe indigestion or the heartburn and all of that. And as a journalist, I really wanted to do some background on it and have you on and talk to you. You were one of the first folks that I reached out to try to bring the awareness to our audience and also to everyone in our families and extended families. No one had ever died of esophageal cancer in my family, but now it's in our risk factor history, and my kids too. You know, I was telling them as well, just be aware, you know, and you have to be scoped just to make sure that you're okay.
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing I'd like everyone to take away from that, is that you do have to be proactive. Don't wait. My other concern is, there are many physicians that just want to prescribe Prilosec or that type of thing, Tagamet, those proton pump inhibitor pills, and those will certainly get rid of the symptoms, but the damage may still be done because it's the lower sphincter from the esophagus to the stomach that is not working correctly. So you may not have the acid reflux symptoms, but you could still be getting the damage. So I would not just cover it up with the pills. Plus, those pills do carry their own types of risks that we're finding out little by little. So,
really? Wow.
Yeah, they do. I guess they're finding that they could damage your kidneys. There's a lot of things that are going on with those pills as well. So, you know, not to cover up the symptoms, but to actually fix the problem itself. A lot of people have found that with diet change, exercise, you know, stop smoking and regulate your drinking. And for me, it's also, if I eat earlier, I'm much better off than having a late dinner. So,
right.
You know, just certain, just a lifestyle change probably will help a great deal more than just masking the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was just going to ask you, what are some of the symptoms? But you had just gone through everything as far as like the acid reflux and the indigestion that happens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of people have also had chronic coughs. And, you know, they sum it up to maybe allergies or if they do smoke. But that could be another symptom. It's difficult to pinpoint because I also mentioned Barrett's esophagus, but that doesn't in and of itself cause you to get esophageal cancer. So, you know, it's a condition of the esophagus, and most definitely it has to be watched. But there are different things that if you think anything at all is going on, or as I said, especially as you mentioned, if you have a history of it in your family, you know, you really need to address it and keep an eye on it.
Right, right. Linda, we're going to have to take our first break. Can you hang on for just another moment?
Oh, certainly.
Perfect. Okay, you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. I'd like to say good morning to everybody and welcome you to our show. And on the flip side of our break, we'll have we'll continue our interview on esophageal cancer with Linda Salgi. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Senior citizens, attend a free dental screening at Community VNA in Attleboro on Saturday, May 6th from 8:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. Participants will receive a free dental exam and have the opportunity to speak with our dentists in the clinic's relaxed, friendly setting. Participants will also be screened for oral cancers and have a chance to receive free denture cleanings. To schedule your free appointment, call 774-203-1906. The free dental screening is organized by the Elder Dental Program, a project of Community VNA.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets, and they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Each year, nearly 250,000 people head to the emergency room due to slips in their bathrooms alone. When you add injuries caused on kitchen floors, pool decks, hardwood stairs, and walkways, it's over 1 million people. Your whole house is an obstacle course. That's why Sentinel Safe Floor Solutions provides services to make your existing floors slip-resistant and safe. Whether it's your family or your pet that has been slipping in your home, Sentinel Safe Floors can reduce the chances of being injured. Locally owned and operated and serving the greater Attleboro area, learn more about Sentinel Safe Floors by calling 508-535-5000.
Tune into AACS 15 this week for Slip and Fall Prevention, presented by physical therapist Don Kelly of Houghton Physical Therapy. Don will discuss how to improve your range of motion, strength, and balance in order to help prevent falls and stay independent. To find out when the show airs this week, check out AACS's schedule on AACS.com. You can also view the show anytime in HD on AACS.com, on the AACS Roku channel, or on the AACS mobile app.
Take one.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, it's Day Tripper. Good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine on WARA 1320. On the line, I have Linda Salci, and we're talking about esophageal cancer because April is that awareness month. So, Linda, thank you for coming on and talking about April is Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month and also about your wonderful foundation. But before we continue on to our discussion, if people want to learn more about the organization or to participate in the walk on June 17th, can you give us our phone number so I can refer to that later in the show?
Sure. It's area code 401-398-7785. And they can register right online, and our website is salgi.org.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, very easy.
All right, great. Yeah, I know last year I couldn't do it for some reason, but this year I want to do it again. I think that this will be great. And we'll be talking throughout the before that event happens.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm going to come back and do the walk again. It's a beautiful place. It's a great solidarity group, a great group of folks who either have lost, well, we've lost someone from esophageal cancer, and we're hoping for a cure. Do you think that that'll ever be possible at some point?
I really do hope that it is possible. That's obviously my dream and my hope, that someday we won't even be needed, and they'll take care of this and cure it. I really also feel that it's thinking outside the box that it's going to do it. So if we can help fund those researchers, one of them may be onto something. I'd hate to see an opportunity pass where we couldn't do it. So that's our goal. That's basically it.
Do you think that this is one of those diseases that is very preventable?
I would love to say yes. Still, a great deal needs to be known about it. They still haven't formed anything to say, okay, this is definitely it, this is definitely what causes it. We know the risk factors, you know, smoking, drinking excessively, belly fat, you know, fat around the abdomen is not very healthy for anything, but that also causes a great deal of pressure on the esophagus and could damage it. So I don't know. If it was preventable, that would be fantastic. I truly do believe that a healthy lifestyle can prevent a great deal of ills. So, you know, if we can at least try to be healthy and keep an eye on things and be proactive, that would probably be the best thing I can advise everyone.
Right. I think I'm just going to throw this out there because you're the expert in this and I am not, but I'm just a life observer. But it just seems like I don't do fast foods, and sometimes my grandkids love to go to McDonald's. They just do. And I mm-hmm. see all these kids, and some of the kids are getting so obese. Obesity yeah. in America, as far as like the children, I think that we're going to start seeing more esophageal cancer in younger people, I think, because of this. What do you think?
I agree with you. I do believe that's another big issue, is that people are becoming heavier and heavier, and there is a lack of exercise. And I think maybe that's an excellent observation. Maybe we can address that more in the schools. I'd like to see longer recess time than anything else. You know, get them moving, get them get the blood flowing, and get them used to more activity than just perhaps being in front of a TV or an Xbox, that type of thing. And yes, healthy eating is important, and it's not as expensive as everyone believes. You know, you can buy organic, you can buy healthy, and it's cheaper to make your own food sometimes than it is to go out and eat. So absolutely, there has to be a lot of things involved all at once.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I agree. And I like to cook. So, I mean, I still do. And sometimes I still feel like I'm cooking for my whole family as I do my Sunday. I carry on my mom's tradition, I guess, without not even thinking about it, you know. So, but I truly enjoy it. And then I make a big meal, like a lasagna or a Polish dish called gołąbki's or soups or whatever that'll carry me 3 or 4 days. You know, I do bring my lunch to work. I do. And but if we have an event, excuse me, like we have a potluck or something like that that's going to be happening, then of course I won't. But I just think that if you monitor what you're eating and monitor the amount of food that you're eating too, I think that that's great. But I've been caught, like, you know, being bad with the fish and chips during Lent on Fridays. You know, I'd be going out and getting fish and chips. And I mean, seriously, like, and that's all fried food and stuff like that. And then it's like, ugh, what did I do? You know, because then I pay for it. I do. I have GERD, and it's like it kills me because then I'm suffering, and it's, it's not good.
I understand that person. You know, we're all human, so we're all going to indulge or overindulge, as the case may be. I think I mentioned this last time, too. What we really do try to promote, and it sounds very simple, but I believe it helps, is if you do overindulge or if you have a large holiday meal or you've eaten later, if you could take a 5-10-minute walk or even go on the treadmill or anything like that, it really helps the digestion. It kind of pushes it along, and it doesn't let it sit there, it feels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and just move a little bit. I think the worst thing you can do after you eat is to lay down, because that causes the GERD even more so to come up. So that might help.
Right. You know, I hear you. I've kind of like switched around my meals too, where I have the biggest meal during lunch and a lighter meal at dinner time, like a salad or grilled chicken or something like that, and I find that I feel much better, too.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah, well, that was brought to me by my cardiologist. That has nothing to do with me thinking, oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
That's okay. We'll give you credit.
That sounds great. You know, I'm just really blown away by the facts about esophageal cancer, and I was looking at it, and I can't really identify what... You know, even with the numbers of cases, you know, per 100,000 by ethnicity and sex and race, it's like it's all races, you know. I mean, it affects every single one, from non-Hispanic to white and black and Asian and, you know, American Indian. Everybody is affected by this disease. Every single, it crosses through so many race and ethnicities, and it's not just one particular one that you can pinpoint and say, oh, it's because, you know, you're eating all of this food, you know, like
right.
You're not supposed to and stuff like that. But
absolutely. No, it doesn't discriminate. And the thing that's broken our hearts even more is that we're finding younger and younger and younger people being affected by this. So, I mean, when you have people in their 20s who are dying from this disease, that's outrageous to me. That really shouldn't be. And one thing I do have a concern with, sometimes when you read the statistics online, mm-hmm. they say that it's primarily men. And for the most part, right now, we have had a great deal of men affected by it, but it's women as well, and we have to emphasize that. I've seen lovely ladies lose their battle to this, and... You know, you have to be aware of that. There is no one that's immune from it, as you pointed out.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you're absolutely right. I was really surprised to hear, I'm going to just sidetrack for just a nanosecond, that CVS was taking out all the candy counter and stuff like that to promote healthy choices and mm-hmm. A proponent of healthy school lunches, which I think is a start, which is a big start. But do you think that primarily diet and lifestyle are the key causes of esophageal cancer?
I'm only reluctant to say yes to that, because then that would disregard everything else. I do believe that, as I said, on a whole, healthy eating and exercise is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, it most likely will help with any kind of disease in and of itself. We still need to find out, though, what it is. Is it a gene? Is it a mutation that, you know, forms? What prompts it to do that? If it's just a random cancer, we just don't know yet. So I am a little hesitant to say that is the reason, because we can't just disregard anything else. So,
sure.
You know, as I said, by all means, yes, being healthy will cure a multitude of ills. So, and if it helps esophageal cancer rates to go down, I'm all for it. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't know for sure. And that's where research comes in. That's where we have to keep funding research, finding different avenues towards it, what can help, what doesn't. And it's very, very important, because it does break my heart that all these researchers don't receive the funding they need. American Cancer Society, National Cancer Institute, I believe National Cancer Institute even lowered the percentage of what they gave towards esophageal cancer research. And I think that's, you know, deplorable, and I think we all need to focus on this. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we received all the funding we needed and funded all the research, and as you said, found a cure for this, or found an exact path to where esophageal cancer forms and took care of it? That would be wonderful. I'd love to see that in my lifetime.
Right. Well, hopefully it would be. And with another minute, our time is running out, and I really apologize, but when you're having a great interview like you are, time does go by fast. But I do want to promote your walk on June 17th. Can you give us more information about that? Who can walk? You know, when is it going to be? How they register?
Certainly. Well, as I gave the website, salgy.org, that's the perfect place to get all your information and to start your registration. And it's the 6th annual Esophageal Cancer Walk Run. It's at Warwick City Park. And it's on a Saturday. It's the Saturday of Father's Day. So tickets are $20 in advance. And if you do it before May 26th, you can guarantee yourself a T-shirt that you could pick up at the walk. The day of the walk is $25. We accept cash or check. We encourage everybody to bring their family, friends, coworkers, dogs, and children under 12 walk free. So that's a little extra. This year we have some special things at the walk. Massage Envy has graciously donated some time for little massages right there for our walkers and runners, which I think is fabulous. And the Paw Sox are going to send their mascot to us, which I think the kids are really going to love.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Starbucks Iced Tea is going to set up a station there as well. We're working on a bunch of extra surprises and goodies for everybody for the walk. So there's going to be tons of things to do and see. The walk itself is wonderful. And as you said, it's a wonderful cause. And everybody, our survivors are going to be there. Families of people whom they've lost are going to be there. And we can all bond and make a difference.
Absolutely. And it's always been a great day, too, which is wonderful. The weather's always been great. And it is a wonderful walk. Warwick City Park is beautiful this time of year, and in June, it's just really fabulous. But I would like to thank you very, very much, and I definitely will promote your walk. I definitely will be there, and we'll be talking off air. Yes, I will. Yes, we'll be there. It'll be great. And so thank you for getting up, and I really do appreciate it. I will be promoting this each and every week until until the walk ends, and then also to invite you back whenever you can to talk to us about the walk and how we all made out that day.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for all your support.
You're very welcome. You take good care. Have a wonderful Saturday. And again, my sincere thank you for bringing awareness to such this terrible disease. And April is Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month. Take good care, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. All right. So we are going to take a quick break, and then we come back on the flip side. Our own meteorologist at WARA 1320, Jim Corbin, will be on. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages. And all the people that come and go, stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car. The little children laughing him. Senior citizens, attend a free dental screening at Community VNA in Attleboro on Saturday, May 6th from 8:45 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Participants will receive a free dental exam and have the opportunity to speak with our dentists in the clinic's relaxed, friendly setting. Participants will also be screened for oral cancers and have a chance to receive free denture cleanings. To schedule your free appointment, call 774-203-1906. The free dental screening is organized by the Elder Dental Program, a project of Community VNA.
You sit down at your table, you get your card. 25 squares hold the key. Which one will it be? I-25, O-72, or Lucky B-13? Which one will be the square that makes you jump up and shout,
Bingo!
The Attleboro Elks Lodge 1014 hosts Bingo each Sunday at 887 South Main Street. Open to the public, the kitchen opens at 5 p.m. with a variety of food available. Bingo starts at 6 p.m. Prizes are awarded and proceeds support Elks charities. For further details, you can visit attleboroelks.org or you can call 508-222-5502. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink in my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Tune into AACS Channel 15 this week for part 2 of an Alzheimer's education series. Suzanne Faith of Hope Health gives an overview of the challenges faced by caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Visit AACS.com for a schedule of this and all programs airing on AACS Channel 15. You can also view the program in high definition on the AACS Roku channel, the AACS mobile app, or on AACS.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My number is 508-222. I almost gave you my cell phone number. 508-222-1320. So if you're on your first or second cup of coffee, we invite you to call in and say hello. And Jim Corbin will be calling in shortly to give us an update of weather. Boy, wasn't that something about Linda Salishy and her wonderful organization. I did want to mention it's Earth Day today, and there's going to be a lot of activity out and about, too, and we will definitely get into that a little bit more in the show. But our show is very tight because we only have 1 hour, so I have to make sure that I get each and everything in because it is so important. And we do have a lot of great things happening, a lot of fundraising events that are happening as well. And I guess we will find out if it's going to be a sunny day today. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
All right, Elaine. How's everything?
I'm feeling much better.
Feeling better than last week, I think.
Oh, right? My God. I really did, you know, like when you say, when you're sick as a dog and you just want to just rest up and you stay in bed all day, that was me. I couldn't even get out of bed. It was just really bad.
Yeah, well, for you to be in that situation and not do it must have been bad because you're always out and about everywhere. Right?
It was torture, Jim. It was torture. But this week I've got 3 fundraising events that I'm going to, so I'm making up for it.
There you go. Back at it again.
I sure am.
Well, anyway, you just played that the few seconds of that song, "Here Comes the Sun," with the lyrics, and I don't think we're going to see too much of it today, but we will have the sun returning. That'll be a nice thing for tomorrow. So that's definitely the good news. Now, over the last day or two, obviously, we've had some rain and drizzle, so not great for outdoor activity, but as I've been saying, and many meteorologists say, this time of year, whenever you can get some rain, it's doing good for a variety of reasons, And the first one really is the fact that we have the plants and all the flowers coming up. Now some of the trees, the small trees, the cherries and those kind of things, the medium-sized trees with all the whites and some of the dogwoods now starting to come out. So that's the good news. The other good news for getting the rain, and again, I know outdoor activities, it's not great even at the moment, although it's better than yesterday. You also lower the pollen count. The tree pollens are still active this time of the year, obviously. Maple, birch, oak, juniper, all of the trees are still producing pollen. You see the buds coming out. So that knocks it down on a day like yesterday and even a day like today. It will return a little bit tomorrow, though, when we get the sun going back. And then finally, the reason that it's good to get rain this time of the year, it wets the ground, and we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. We've had brush fires around the area, not widespread typically, and they usually are under control just because of our topography and things like that. It's not like we're out in California where you have, you know, dead brush for hundreds of miles and mudslides and deep canyons and things like that. So the three reasons of getting rain this time of the year that are good are for the flowers, that's growing stuff that's just coming up, the lack of the lower pollen counts, and also the ground is wet down. So if someone were to throw a cigarette butt, as an example, obviously there are other reasons for a brush fire to start, throwing it into some mulch or even just throwing it into some wooded areas, especially on a day like today, there's less of a chance of it, for obvious reasons, of starting to come into a flame. So those are the three good reasons. Now, obviously, outdoor activities, and I know you're probably going to be talking about some of the Earth Day stuff going on today. We have temperatures that are only going to be in the mid-50s, so it's, you know, not exactly a nice day. But again, for the various reasons that I just said, we have to deal with it. Now, only a little bit of spotty light mist today, maybe a sprinkle or two, just a damp feel to the air as small area low pressure continues to linger to our east. Now, tonight's skies will start to clear out, fall down into the low 40s by morning. So, again, cool, but done really about average, really, to this time of the year. And then as we go into tomorrow, the pick day of the weekend. Again, not that today's terrible, but tomorrow is better. High temperatures with increasing sunshine. We may start out with some patchy clouds early. We're going to get into the low 60s tomorrow afternoon. So that'll be the nice day. And even as we start the week late on Monday mostly sunny, and high temperatures in the low and mid-60s. Now, the problem we're going to have, and again, it's good and bad, as I just said, we're probably going to have at least a two-day stretch of rain coming up midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday, slow-moving, almost like a subtropical-like system that's going to capture some moisture. So we have the potential for about 2 days straight. Now, that doesn't mean it's raining every hour, but 2 days straight of rain and initially some breezy conditions Tuesday and Wednesday, maybe as much as 1 to 2 inches of rain. So again, if you have plans outdoors and you can make a choice as to when you want to do them and you don't want to deal with rain, I would avoid Tuesday and Wednesday of this upcoming week. Thursday, finally, I think we have a shot at getting back into the 70s. I know that Mike likes to hear that. Not exactly air conditioning weather quite yet, but that looks like the day that will be warm this week, this upcoming week, Thursday, and perhaps even Saturday as well, with temperatures maybe making a run at 80 next weekend. So a week from this morning, Elaine, we may be talking about one of the days next weekend around 80 degrees.
That is fabulous. I can't wait because my new flowers are going to just be so happy, happy.
Oh, yeah. You can hear them, as we always hear every spring. You can see them softly saying, oh, thank you, the rain from yesterday and last night, you know. So, but yeah, it's a pretty short suite. I know you want to get back to a lot of other stuff, so I'll be very quick and I'll end on this. Just again, not the best of days today, but better than yesterday. Tomorrow, better than today.
Let me ask you this. Facebook, there was something about the moon turning a particular color on April 20th or something. Like it was supposed to turn a certain color, and I'm sorry. I
hope that it wasn't for natural causes. If the moon is starting to change colors, we're in big trouble because that'll be something to do with the atmosphere, I hope. You're not talking about the asteroid, are you?
No, I was talking about the, it seemed like on Facebook, I can't remember the story. I was quickly glancing.
Somebody may have probably caught maybe a picture and posted it on Facebook. This is my guess, of course, with Facebook and everything else. Everyone can see everything within seconds that people take pictures of.
Right.
Might have been the moon, perhaps, as it was setting, and just changed maybe to an orangey red, maybe. Perhaps.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah,
almost
something
like the blood moon. Remember we talked about the blood moon
yes.
last couple of years?
Yes.
That could have been something like that. The moon recently has been in its last quarter stage, going towards new moon. So the full, by the way, appropriately next month, the full flower moon. is coming up. But that's probably what it was. It was probably just the color of the moon due to its location in the sky. You know, the tendency, the moon is on a clear day or mostly clear day or night. The moon is whitest when it's up high, and it's more orangey and hazy looking when it's closer to the horizon. That's probably what might have been. I bring up asteroid, though, because you know how we missed an asteroid about 3 days ago?
Yes.
By four times the distance of the moon. And it was about 2,000 feet across. It wasn't round. It was irregularly shaped. But at its longest, it was 2,000 feet of rock. So it's like almost a half mile, under a little less than a half mile of rock that missed us. I think it was early Wednesday morning by that distance. Now that we've known it was going to miss. It wasn't like, oh, let's wait it out and see, you know. But that missed us by the four distance to the moon. The moon's about 240,000, and it was about just a little over 1 million miles away, which in space differences, space length, that's pretty close to get hit, because had that hit us, and again, we knew it was not going to by monitoring it, but had that hit us, we would have been in big trouble.
Wow.
We would have probably had bigger than nuclear explosions in terms of intensity. Now, it would have just hit a certain part of the world, but we missed it. So that's why when you mentioned the moon, I was like, oh, because they've been referencing that to passing by four moon distances out. So you say, well, that's pretty far out. Well, it's not that far out considering that this thing has been headed towards Earth for hundreds of years, and it missed us by a million miles.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Is it safe, Jim? Is it safe, Jim, to say that there's no more snow? I could put all my snow stuff away?
No, no. I think after next week, we've got another shot at a foot of snow.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious.
Oh, good.
No, but I would get your air conditioning ready. And, you know, at least have it ready to roll, whatever type it is. Because again, we're going to be, we did have on Easter, obviously, temperatures in the 80s in some areas, and so you know we'll get back to the 70s and 80s probably the end of next week, this upcoming week. So I get it ready, and yeah, put the snow blower away.
All right.
I said, someone asked me that last week, and I said, yeah, they asked a question, and I replied through, I think it was Dom or Paul, one of the shows, and I said, if it does happen to snow in the next couple of weeks, which is not out of the question, it could, it's probably not going to be enough to use a snowblower. So put it away, and if you have to brush it off, get some exercise and do it yourself.
Well, that sounds like a good
point. I mean that in a fun, joking way.
Right.
I'm saying that, outside of that snow we had in 1977, it was more higher in Providence than it was further north. On May 9th, 1977, there was about at least a half a foot of snow.
Wow, that's amazing. That's not going to happen, though. I remain optimistic that it's going to be sunny and bright for the rest of the year.
Well, dream on about that. But no, anyway, again, no snow. I think we've had it for the season, but we will have a couple of days of rain this week, Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks again. I appreciate it. We're going to be back live next week as well.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you then.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jim. Bye. All right. There goes Jim Corbin. Sounds like a mixed bag of tricks, as they say. We are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back with a lot of different things that are happening out in our area.
Nothing you can see but come to see.
Okay, when it's live radio, anything can happen, and that's exactly what we're doing. There's no commercial loaded, so you know what? You've got another few minutes with me before we sign off for the day. So we get right into all the different fundraising events and things that are happening in our area. I do have to tell you that, remember a few weeks ago I had Kim from the Ugly Dog Bookstore on Union Street in, and we did a really great interview with her, and I was able to go over there and walk around and talk to her, and it's such an eclectic, great bookstore. Well, I'm sad to tell you that their last day is going to be this Thursday. And if you have a chance to go over, they're open today at 10 o'clock. They're open, I think, every single day at 10 o'clock. You should really go over there, not only to purchase books and everything, but like she was saying on Facebook, to just come by and give me a hug. And so I plan on doing that later today after my breakfast. You know where I'm going. Anyway, the Ugly Dog Bookstore on Union Street is closing on Thursday, and I really feel bad, but she was saying after our interview that it's been very tough. It's a tough business, that's for sure, but just great people. You know, they came into the Attleboro area. They stayed for 5.5 years. They really tried to make a go of it, and they really did enhance each and every person's life that went into the bookstore. It really is wonderful. So I hope you do have a chance to go there this week before Thursday. And if you can go there Thursday, they'll be open till 5. Okay, here's some things that are happening in our area that are coming up this week. A lot of different things, actually. And one of them is near and dear to my heart, and it's the Literacy Center's International Tasting Event. And that's happening this Wednesday at 5:30 at the Attleboro Elks. Stop by the Literacy Center to get your tickets, and all proceeds will go to their wonderful programs that they have. And they have their closed. The tickets are only $18, and you can call the Literacy Center, too, like I did, to reserve a ticket. Their number is 508-226-3603, and they're up to about 225 people, and they close it at 300, I believe. So it's this Wednesday, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Elks on South Main Street in Attleboro. You know where that is. And they've got over 15 wonderful restaurants, and local folks are coming in from, like, Panera Bread, Fitzy's Pub. Oh, they've got Bliss. Oh, my God, they got Bliss Dairy, Olive Garden, Stop and Shop. They've got my chef, Laura, who is really great. Best food ever, honest to God. The Boneyard Barbecue, Young's Catering, of course, Bliss Dairy, Willow Tree, and many other things. So you don't want to miss the annual food tasting. That's Wednesday, the 26th of April from 5:30 to 8. And come on out and see me because I will be there. All right, just so you know. And actually, tomorrow, they wanted me to mention this. On Sunday from noon to 3 p.m., there's going to be a food truck festival at the Hot Club in Providence on Point Street. So bring the kids down. There's going to be hot dogs and hamburgers and all kinds of different foods there. It's Sunday, tomorrow from noon to 3 p.m. Okay. Now, excuse me. Okay, we've got a couple more, and then I want to get into the movies and things like that, and I know what time. Yeah, I'm good. Okay, the 23rd annual Wish Come True Dinner Dance is going to be held next Friday starting at 5:30 p.m., and the dinner is going to be served at 6:30 p.m. at Venus de Milo. So adults are $36, seniors are $26, kids 12 and under is only $15, and it's a great organization where they provide wishes for children. And it's really a great foundation, and it's really great. And if you want to go and reserve a ticket, like I did, the event that you can call Cindy at their telephone number is 508-954-0174. So again, it's the 23rd annual Wish Come True Dinner Dance this coming Friday at 5:30 at Venus de Milo. Great organization. They've got great food and raffles and so much more. So I'll give you that number again. It's 508-954-0174. And also, what I love about, you know, on Facebook, there are a lot of things that I don't like about it, but there are a lot of great things that are happening. And Donna Sprague asked me to mention on April 25th, the Purple Rooster in 105 South Main Street in Plainville is having a fundraising event for Lenore's Pantry. Now, I knew Lenore Paquin. I worked with her at the North Attleboro and Town Hall for many years, 6 years actually. And Lenore had a pantry and a food pantry for folks in need. And she's retired, living in Florida. And so now they're continuing this wonderful tradition and have for many, many years. And actually, our own Donna Sprague is going to be there at the Purple Rooster from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. and doing readings and things. So we want to make sure, and we'll be announcing this again next week, and I'm sure she will do that later today when she's on with Dave Kane, that April 25th, the Purple Rooster's fundraising event for Lenore's Pantry will be held on 105 South Main Street in Plainville. And the event is starting from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Wow, 12 hours. So you can go there to the Purple Rooster, have a great meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. You know, proceeds going to such a great, great, great event. Lenore's Pantry is just really phenomenal, and it helps many, many, many people in need. Okay, so those are some of the fun things that are happening. Today is Earth Day. There are many other events that are happening out here. For instance, next Saturday, there's a ham and bean supper at the All Saints Episcopal Church on North Main Street in Attleboro. Seating is at 5:30 p.m. Dinner's at 6. Hey, for $10, you can get a great meal. And the phone number there is 508-222-2233. Just check it all out. And I wanted to let you know that there's, if you play the lottery, I'll do lottery, then movies, and then we'll wrap up the show. Okay, if you play the lottery, I'd like to wish you good luck. Mass daily number is 6229. Rhode Island daily number is 0582. Mass cash, 3, 4, 7, 28, and 32. Mega Millions, 1, 12, 13, 32, 34. The Mega Ball is 10, and the Mega Plier is 2. Did I hear somebody win? Anyway, my favorite. Well, not favorite, I should say. These are some of the movies that are coming out. See, some of them have been out for a little bit, and some of them are new. Beauty and the Beast is still the number one movie in America. It is just really it's getting a lot of buzz. My granddaughter went to see it and was mesmerized, and yes, she does want one of those bell dresses. A Dog's Purpose, I've seen this movie. It is just really a sweet movie. It is really great. If you ever owned a dog or an animal, you've got to see this movie. It is not, it's for kids, but it's also for adults as well. Smurfs, the Lost Village. Oh my God. Yep, Smurf. Papa Smurf is still alive. The Fate of the Furious, this is another chain of events. They can't do like number 10, so they decided, well, we're just going to do The Fate of the Furious. Well, you know what The Fate of the Furious, it starts off with cars, fast women, you know, Vin Diesel and Dwayne Johnson flexing their muscles, you know, and it all ends where everybody becomes friends and hugs everybody. And then the last movie, Going in Style, is really great. It's a great movie. With three Oscar winners, with Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin and Michael Caine doing their thing. I guess he didn't make enough money, and they're just saying, let's just do this movie so we can get some more money. But I have no idea, but it's not getting a lot of good reviews, unfortunately. So to wrap up our show, I just wanted to give you some facts. You know, one of the deadliest cancers with a very low survival rate is esophageal cancer, and they have an increase of 600%, and it is the fastest-growing cancer in the United States. You know, reflux disease, chronic heartburn, obesity, and poor nutrition. You know, we really do have to look at those risk factors for each and every one of us. And I'd like to thank Linda Salgi for coming on our show this morning to give us an update of the research that's happening. And I hope that you will join us. I will definitely be there, too, for their annual event on Saturday, June 17th. So for more information, you know, you just call the number there and register. And the number is 508. Let me just see here, 615-5869, and walk with us on June 17th. You know, together we can make a difference, and I really want to thank her for coming on. Also, in closing, I'd like to remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on each and every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., followed by Dave Kane of Kane & Company from 9 to noon. So from all of us here, I'd like to thank Jim Corbin, Mike Catanzaro, and Linda Salgi for coming on the show and enhancing our show each and every Saturday. So we want to wish you a great week. We want to thank each and every one of you for listening to WARA 1320. And meet me back here next Saturday, and let's keep the conversation going. So we'll leave you out with a great Beatles song, Make It a Great Week.